Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm sorry I missed you guys yesterday. I had jury duty and I forgot, but I sent you a love message. Okay, so we're going to get started pretty early this morning. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our opening prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for another day, a day in which to think and move and have our being in the Christ consciousness. Let us expand our consciousness in a way that serves you and our highest good. We walk in the light and in the consciousness of love. Let us always move in that place and be grateful for everything that is. We learn these lessons for a reason. And in this life, we grow always in understanding. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Good morning. I am so sorry about that. Because we had so many problems yesterday. I know that a lot of you called in and you weren't able to get on. I just got a call on my cell phone and I just wanted to make sure everything was working. Okay, so I paused everything so that we can make sure that I wasn't getting an alarm call. Anyway, I'm here. Dr. Reggie's here and we're ready to get this party started. Oh, I love Circles of Prosperity. Please be patient with me this morning. I was up all night doing homework. I didn't get to bed until almost 5 o'clock this morning, and I woke up at 6:45. I said, oh, my God, it's 6:45, but thank you for waking me up in time that I did not oversleep. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So anyway, yesterday I got hung up in jury duty. I'm on call for the rest of the week, so here's the way we're going to plan this out. First of all, we're holding the intention that I don't have to go back to the courthouse. That's number one. But if I do, I will graciously accept the responsibility to do my civic duty. But I'm holding the intention that I can be here with you every morning from 7 to 7:45. And so what we're going to do, I have to call in at 6:30 in the evening or after 6 o'clock in the evening, and I find out whether or not they want me to report to court. And actually, I just realized something. I don't have to be there until 9, which means that I can do the show every morning. So just X all of that. But just in case, if you ever call in and there's no show set up, wait just a few minutes and maybe a show will get set up. If not, look on the page when you go to Blog Talk Radio to the Circles of Prosperity page, because I will upload a pre-recorded show, and which is what I did Sunday night. I uploaded a pre-recorded show thinking that it would run, because I have to go through the process of scheduling it. So I thought it would automatically run. It doesn't unless you sign in and call in, and then it will run. So the best thing to do is to listen to us online. So if you missed yesterday's lesson, it is archived, and you just go to blogtalkradio.com. And they have their own little search bar there, so you can search for shows within Blog Talk and search for Circles of Prosperity, and you will find our archived shows. and you can listen to that archive, and it's entitled The Sacred Science of Manifestation. There are there'll be three. The first two are duplicates of each other. I don't want to pull them off because they have people have listened to them already, and it'll impact my reports. So I'm just keeping them there, but I marked that they were duplicates. And then there's going to have the one today, Sacred Science of Manifestation, but it will be the continuation of this chapter. And my goal is that tomorrow, which is Wednesday, that we'll move into the Bruce Lipton material. I really enjoyed this chapter because I love how they defined manifestation as a sacred science. And I don't know how many of you really have thought of it in terms of it being sacred. The way they've pushed the law of attraction, it and when we look at it as just pure science, we forget that this is something sacred, that it is a gift that has been given to us from God. I want you to hold that in your consciousness, that this is a sacred process as we journey through this chapter. And actually, as you begin to manifest things, as you're holding your intention and putting out your desire of your heart, I want you to make the connection between in that process that this is your divinity, and that it is sacred. This is a sacred ritual. So, and I think that will shift us into appreciating what we're creating and what we're manifesting. Even though it may not hit the mark of the ideal thing that we were looking for, when we understand how sacred it is, and that whatever we manifest is for our highest good, then we can appreciate it because we know that it's taking us on our divine path, that there's something that we will gain from this to help us to grow spiritually. And that's so important. It's not a lesson that you have not heard from us in Circles of Prosperity, because we've had multiple authors to tell us that, in particular Deepak Chopra in The Way of the Wizard, said that every experience is on our path to our divinity, to the Golden Grail. So hold that in consciousness. All right, so yesterday I left off by telling you that oftentimes the action of choice is simply to do nothing at the appointed moment and to allow the elaborately interwoven variables surrounding a given issue to settle into place quite naturally, and that this is the difference between manifesting a result and allowing a result to manifest. So, in other words, here's what's happening. When you put your intention out there, there are any number of variations or variables that can manifest into form in response to your intention. They all have the potential to manifest simultaneously. And what's coming to my mind, you know how they show the pictures of the sperm traveling to the egg? They show that little graphic and they're just all racing. I don't know how many millions are racing when it hits the egg anyway. But those sperms are racing to be the first one to be implanted in that egg. They all have the potential of life. And your desires and your intention is like that sperm, those millions of sperm. It has multiple variations or variables that have the potential to manifest. It's life force. Which one will win? In principle, it's the one that's for your highest good. And that's going to be based on how clear your vision is, how clear your intention is, how little doubt there is around it and fear. And that's why Abraham Hicks says you have to be a vibrational match when your intention raises to a level where it is a vibrational match. Bingo! We've got a winner here. You now have whatever it is that you desired, and it manifests into form. If things are not real clear for you, if your intention isn't very, you can't bring it into focus, the best thing for you to do is to try to have a broad intent and be clear at the broadest level. And I'll give you an example. You're looking for a new job, but you don't know exactly what you want to do. There was a time in my life when I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I manifested it. I clearly remember thinking once, I want to take my love for technology and the computer skills that I have and merge that with my legal experience. And I moved into a field that didn't even exist at the time that I moved into it. And now it's all the rage in the legal field, which is electronic discovery. But back when I moved into it, it didn't exist. I had to create all the tools and everything that I needed in order to work for. So with that in mind, the universe put me with a group of people who were ready to move in that direction. I was given the wisdom and the knowledge to move in that direction. Everything lined up because I had clear intention. Now, let's say I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I just know I needed to be someplace where I was appreciated. That's what my intention needs to say. I need to be in a job where I'm joyful, I enjoy it every day, I don't mind getting up to work, I can be an asset to the company. You don't know what you're going to do, but that's the essence of what you want to experience. You see the difference? All right. So you make no move or no effort at that point because it's very vague. You don't know where the opportunity is going to come from. And oneness tells us that we should not make a move, that we should be patient and be still at that moment. They go on to say, patience is a powerful skill, and you would be well advised to exercise it often as you strengthen your ability to harmonize with the energies that surround you. So it's not always possible to harness a vibrational high point and potential it offers for delivering a desired income. For even though your efforts might increase your chances of manifesting that result, the outcome of highest vibration has often been predetermined by factors that are beyond your conscious control. And in the realm of possibility, all variables are present and vibe vibrationally for the chance to manifest in the reality you experience. And all are, in fact, materialized as form or experience in the infinite field of possibilities that surrounds any issue or crossroads, which is just what I was saying to you, that all of the potential variables are around, surrounding you at all times. And you may not be able to pull what is the highest good, so be still. Be still. And just try to tune in to where you are harmonically in terms of the energies around you. Do not feel that you have failed in your quest to amplify your vibration and respond in a conscious way simply because the result you most desire is not forthcoming instantaneously, because it takes time and practiced, controlled response to get a particular result and to offset the likelihood of that's been pre-programmed into a pre-existing variable. So, as you progress as a conscious practitioner of manifestation, I like that, the full scope of this fascinating art will come under careful scrutiny. And like any art form, the art of manifestation will invite mastery. And one's very life circumstances become testimony to the skills that you bring to this, the ultimate arena of creativity. For the medium is unlimited, and the mode of expression embraces the perfection of the balance between the heart and the mind, between understanding the technical aspects of balancing and counterbalancing the energy and the passion that you bring to the opportunity in question. Now, that's a mouthful to say, isn't it? But no, we're going to get down here. Oh, I'm going to manifest this right now. And they're saying, look, you need to pay attention to where your energy is. You need to pay attention to the energy of other of the different possible scenarios that can manifest. And you need to balance your energy and your passion. You can, and this is what they mean by that. I want $1 million. I'm going to manifest $1 million. But your heart is saying, girl, you're not ready for $1 million. What you going to do with $1 million? You don't even know what you're going to do with $1 million. All of that's running through your heart. Now, how do I'm not balanced with what's coming out of my mouth, what I'm sending out with words. There's not enough fuel, because we know that the feelings in my heart equals and means the fuel. There's not enough fuel there to launch that rocket of desire. It'll whimper out and nothing will happen. But if I say, I'm building an organization that will help young people understand the power of their divinity within them, and so that I can help transform their lives, and I'm so passionate about this, and to make this reach the number of people that I need to reach to teach them these principles, I need income. And the more successful I am, the more people I can help. So now I'm moving into this vibration. I'm raising my vibration where $1 million will seem like a dollar, a couple of hundred dollars to me. Because there's so many people that I want to serve, it probably won't even be enough. But let me see what I can do with this much money. that I can serve this many people. And there are two things that switched here. One is that I was reaching out to uplift mankind. And the other one, I was just concerned about myself. One, I really want to help. There's no conflict in my heart whatsoever. I might have a little fear that I'm not capable of doing it, in which case I may not hit that $1 million mark, or I may only be able to help 10 people because I can't perceive of myself helping hundreds of thousands of people. Until I get to the vibrational match in consciousness that I'm helping hundreds of thousands of people, I'm going to have a small group because that's what I'm comfortable doing. And that's what I will manifest. Do you see the difference? I love it because it's like art. They say all possibilities are available for you. The canvas upon which the masterpiece is created holds inherent in it all the potential pitfalls called forth by related instances in what one would consider to be the past or the future. Each in actuality is happening in the now moment and carries the appropriate electromagnetic charge that adds its measure to the equation. And one is able to influence the balance of this complex combination of factors and draw forth a less than likely result by becoming attuned to the energies of the moment, the environment, and one's own being. In timing an action or an expression of focusing intent, one can become exceptionally skilled at transforming conditioned responses and overcome deep-seated factors that one might consider to be karmic, reversing the patterns that have manifested over lifetimes. When such skills are successfully employed, one can diffuse the dominant electromagnetic charge surrounding a given issue and alter the range of probability on the issue in question. But to do so consistently requires that you are a master at it. And once you are mastering all of that, it's the foundation of the field of manifestation. The sacred science of manifestation. So let's go back and break down what they said because it's a mouthful. Number one, we have unlimited potential. We know that there's no lack and no limitation. Unlimited potential to create whatever it is that we want to create. And we're not creating something in the past or in the future. We're creating right now. So the moment that you have a desire, the process begins. And that's why I've been teaching you guys to stay in the moment, because creation takes place when? Moment to moment. Stay in the moment. Do a heart check. Go into your sanctuary as often as you can during the day. It only has to be for a few seconds to see where you are vibrationally. What are you feeling at that moment? Because it's contributing. They say when you master this process, there may be experiences that, okay, let's say you get a bill. And you know you don't have enough money to pay the bill. And you've been experiencing this month to month to month. So you already have a conditioned response to that, where maybe you panic whatever it is that you do when you know that you don't have enough money. You go into juggle mode, where you rob Peter to pay Paul. You put one bill off and pay the other bill. I've done it all. So see, I'm totally guilty. I know. All right, so now you've trained yourself how to handle this. It works for you. It gets the problem solved. But if we're trusting God and there's no limitation, we have the option now to shift this to a higher level. To say, you know what, I don't want to juggle anymore. I actually want to have enough money that everything is taken care of every month. It's just that simple. But you have to feel it in your heart. You can't say that and say, oh, and then try to say, oh, well, I won't get a raise. Because at that point, you're saying you're relying on your job to be your source. You want to rely on God to be your source. And so you need to just say, I love Donna Sting. God loves me. That's her biggest thing. God loves me and will provide a way for me to pay all of my bills timely with extra money left over. That's my highest thought that I can have on this situation right now. And just that, and knowing that you're feeling you don't have any apprehension about saying that, and you're not judging how it's going to come to you. You're trusting in God. You're trusting in trust and having faith in faith. That is going to shift your energy. So this pre-learned thing of putting you in survival mode and struggle mode that makes you uncomfortable, but you do it anyway, you can release that and move into faith, and that's cleaning up the karmic. The karma. It shifts you into another level. It shifts your vibration. So when you're in any situation, you want to strive for the highest possible thought, for your intention, that you are in a vibrational match for. I hope that's making sense to you. It will become common knowledge quite soon that each of you is creating the reality of your life experience. And the mindset that you call victim consciousness will, by definition, be relegated to obsolescence. I know a lot of you are saying, hallelujah, I can't wait. Because I'm tired of being the victim. It will no longer be possible to blame another being or circumstances beyond your control for a given situation. For all experience will be recognized as self-determined on a fascinating complexity of levels, and it will be necessary for every being to take responsibility for the part played by each in the co-creation of the reality of mutual experience. When it is no longer possible to deny your own part in that creation, one is left with little choice but to recognize the role that one plays as creator and to cross the major threshold to the journey to oneness. How many of you today at this moment can look at this mess that you've created? I know some of you, I hate to say that. Let me say this. Cynthia looks at the mess because, see, I know you guys are very good. But how many of you can look at your life and say, I created this? For me, I'm looking at all the mess that I have, and I say, you know, you don't have anyone to blame. You created this. Due to your fear, due to your doubts, due to your belief that you had limitations. And here's a big one. Because I'm African American, oh, they're trying to hold me back. I even created that experience to have people hold me back. We don't want that, do we? And so today forward, we're taking responsibility. We are not a victim. There are no excuses. Accept where you are. check your heart to see how you're feeling about situations and people that are around you. Get rid of the ones that are not servicing your highest good. Release them in love. Let it go. And why is that important? Because right now, this new world at whose brink you stand in the present moment, it represents a transitory stage that integrates the world of physical form and the world of instantaneous manifestation. And the care that one is able to demonstrate in applying these newfound skills will determine the degree of joy or the degree of frustration that you are going to experience. And a byproduct of the exercise is the knowledge that there is no one to thank or no one to blame for any of it except yourself. We're in a new paradigm. What you say will not come back void. It is a truth principle that is in the Bible. Your word will not go forth and come back void. But it is even more powerful now because we're talking about there's no time gap. It happens instantaneously. So you need to be focused and consciously aware. In the present time frame, which represents a crossroads between these two worlds, one is best counseled to be gentle with oneself. It will not enhance your situation in any way to blame yourself for what you realize is your own self-created condition. And likewise, it does not serve another for you to point out self-righteously observations and realizations culled from your own experience. The very fact that another being may be wrestling with circumstances that you may have transcended testifies to the fact that they are schooling themselves experientially on certain issues. You cannot rob them from that experience. You can't save them from that experience. Mothers, do you hear me? Your kids are out there and they're doing things and you have to know that they have created that scenario and you can't save them. It's the experience of going through that allows them to grow and puts them on their path of divinity. Trust the process. The most powerful thing you can do is to hold that child in the light, in your consciousness, that they are awakened, and be an example. Set the example. But you can't save them. Real knowingness comes from life experience, and that alone. One can certainly intellectualize the process and try to force understandings that have been introduced by others and read about it in books, yet until the lesson is manifested as a life experience, the real mastery of the lesson upon which transcendence is based is not possible. It serves no one to point out condescendingly understandings that one was fortunate enough to have learned through a painful experience. It is counterproductive to pay lip service to platitudes that one has encountered mentally and which are far more integrated as experience in one's own life. They're just expanding on the concept that you have to, Dr. Reggie says, if you're not living it, you don't know it. If you're not living it, you don't know it. You can sit here and professorial and break down the theory all that well, but if you are not living it, you do not know it. And the best thing you can do for yourself is practice. So, if you encounter another who is enmeshed in a major drama and is teetering on the brink of a breakthrough and realization, it is best to lead that person through carefully posed questions toward discovering the answers within himself. Because in this way, the lesson is driven home in a powerful way. That's what I love about coaching. Because you gently guide people by posing questions and that get them to find the answer within themselves. Well, what's standing in your way of accomplishing such and such? Well, what is it that you really want to do? Well, why do you not want to do that? If this is really what you want to do, what's preventing you from doing this? Simple questions. But they come to the realization of what's blocking their goal. Knowledge comes from having lived the lesson, not merely having intellectualized it theoretically. So be aware of your loving intentions and be sure that you are not undermining the process of another by preempting his process of integration with well-meaning advice. You are here for you alone. You are here for you alone. And though you may delude yourself into thinking that you have transcended these times of transformation simply because certain metaphysical understandings have sparked a sense of recognition within you, the truth remains that your own process must be experiential if it is to form a strong foundation for the conditions to come. So honor your own process of transformation for the richness it is programmed to provide for you, and respect the magnificence of the processes of the beings who journey by your side by allowing the full expression of their humanness and your own. I am opening the lines now for questions or comments on today's lesson. It's a powerful lesson. If you have a question or comment this morning, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Wow. It's quiet this morning. Dr. Reggie, are you still awake? Dr. Reggie went back to sleep. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Oof, I'm fine. Fine this morning. And, you know, you said it was quiet. I was marinating what you were talking about because I've had this experience with my son, you know, and I had to learn through support systems to save myself, to allow him to go through his experience in life, because if I didn't, I don't know where I would be today. You see, so for me, I'm going to have to read this chapter over and over and over again to understand that I did do the right thing, you see, because if not, I would be very sick. I would have a sick soul. So this is very powerful for me, and I thank you so much. Are you there, Cynthia?